Welcome to Let's Talk Socials, the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to stand out on social media and be seen as the experts that they really are. The latest updates and trends from the social media space, presented by me, your social media strategist and coach. Now, let's get started. Let's Talk Socials. Hello, Hannah. Welcome to Let's Talk Socials. I always like to start my podcast episode with a little bit of an intro. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners, what you do and what you do in your business.
Okay, thank you, Hannah. So I'm also Hannah, and I'm the founder and managing director of Rapid Exposure Limited. We're a social media management business based in Kerikeri in the Bay of Islands, but we have clients nationwide around New Zealand. We specialize in helping small businesses reach new customers through digital audiences. And with the ever-evolving landscape of digital marketing, it has become crucial for businesses to have an online presence and engage with their audience, which is where our services come in.
It's really cool. I always love to chat to other social media experts because I feel like we always have lots of things in common. And one of the things that we have chatted about a lot already in the DMs, I have the feeling, is this typical thing that lots of online business owners and marketers at the same time do, and that is a six-figure, seven-figure claim, where they basically tell their audience that they have built a six-figure business and that is why people should be working with them. Do you think that this is the type of marketing that businesses should be doing? And secondly, why or why not?
Oh my God, in my opinion, it is a solid no. How many other industries do you see telling you, we're making $40,000 this month, use us and we'll help you increase your sales too? It makes it look like a pyramid scheme. So a good social media manager or coach should be telling you what you can realistically expect to achieve by working with them. Most businesses already have a following on social media. If they don't, your social media manager or coach will get you set up on the right platforms for your business. So it's more about turning the existing followers that you have into paying customers, I believe. I'd be more inclined to wanting to know how someone's going to help me with lead conversion or increasing my brand to my target market, instead of guessing how much money I'm going to make.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you mentioned before, that in other industries, people don't usually talk about how much they're making in their business to get others to work with them. Like, it would be weird if I'm hiring a plumber today to fix something in my house and they say, well, did you know that I'm actually a seven-figure business and that's why you have to work with me? No, that doesn't really make sense. So I don't really see why we as marketers should be doing that. But at the same time, it is something that we often see in the marketing niche. And I find it is a little bit of a red flag. And I also like what you said, that a coach should actually not talk about how much money they are making, but they should tell you how much money you can realistically make. And I would also say that it's not the quality of a coach is not necessarily how much money they are making off their coaching, but how much money they can help other people make with the coaching that they're doing.
Exactly. And it might also be that you're not necessarily doing your social media to make money. You might have another goal in mind. You might just be trying to increase your branding or let people know about your sustainability or, you know, something completely different as to just making money.
That's a good point, because not every organization or every business that markets on social media has the goal of increasing revenue. I often have clients that come to me, or when I talk to people at networking events or something, I always say, well, have you used social media marketing before? And often they will say, oh no, but we're already swamped with clients. We couldn't even take on other clients. And I'm like, well, social media marketing is not just there to get you more clients necessarily or to increase your revenue, but you can use it for other reasons as well, like what you mentioned, to highlight your sustainability or to highlight other aspects that are important for your business, to build a business that is successful in the long term and not just focuses on getting your clients right now. Well, I think we're both on the same page when it comes to these 6-7 figure claims, that is a bit of a red flag. Do you have any other red flags when it comes to social media managers or in general, maybe digital marketing agencies that people should look out for when looking to hire a company like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, apart from that is the first initial red flag to me. It will probably make me resent giving you my money and unmotivate me, especially if I don't get an instant return when signing up to your services. So that is the biggest red flag for me. I think another one is unrealistic promises. So overnight success, unrealistic results. Social media, as we both know, takes time and effort. It's not an instantaneous result. You can't just set up a client's Instagram page tomorrow for them to have, you know, 100,000 followers that are going to turn into customers for them. It's something you've got to keep working through. So anyone who promises you make 7 figures every month, or another one I've seen quite a bit of lately is for only two hours a day, you can earn $100,000. You know, like anyone guaranteeing that sort of stuff should be taken with caution. I can promise you anyone making that much money per month has a whole team of people behind them working in the business too. And they all need paying. You know, they're not solopreneurs or they're not very small businesses. So yeah, huge, huge red flag for me. And quite frankly, I wouldn't give my money to some of these people who are just boasting. I think that's what they're doing. They're boasting about what they make. Another red flag for me when looking for a social media manager or social media management company would be lack of experience. So finding someone that is able to demonstrate a solid background about what they've been doing, and also seeing their results with social media marketing. Like anyone can promise you the world, but you really need to see those results, I think. Another red flag would be poor communication or not responding. Like your social media manager should be really proactive with communicating with you and answer any questions or concerns you've got. Which also leads into my next point, I think. My next red flag would be a lack of transparency. So to me, trustworthy people don't need to hide their strategies and be secretive. In my opinion, a good social media manager shares their expertise with you in case you want to take over running your own social media in the future. So for me, I actually get quite a big sense of pride if one of my clients then wants to go out with everything they've learned and put that into practice themselves. I'm still going to be in the background guiding them. But to me, that's huge. I'm not going to keep all my information and my knowledge to myself. I want to share it and help you grow too. So transparency. Around transparency, another red flag is agencies that hide their pricing. So if you inquire about working with someone, they should be upfront about the costs if you ask that question. More and more social media managers and coaches are making you jump through hoops and answer a million auto-generated questions before they'll give you an answer to their pricing. It's a huge thing at the moment using automation. When you send someone a message asking them about their services, and they'll send you all these questions back. And I don't know about you, Hannah, but I actually like arguing with those bots. So, you know, it's like they send you, oh, so before I get to that, tell me, what is your biggest pain point in social media? It's like, not what I asked you about your pricing. You know, want to know if it's even realistic going down this route. I want to build a relationship with you before I, you know, are we even on the same page? So I think being clear, I suppose, and transparent about pricing is one for me. Another red flag would be outdated knowledge. So social media, as you know, changes so rapidly that you need a manager or coach who invests in themselves and their upskilling to keep on top of changes and trends. We need to be relevant with our customers. And finally would be someone that doesn't have any reviews or testimonials. I'd be asking them who, if it's not very clear, who they currently work with, and if you can speak to them to hear their thoughts and recommendations on the manager and coach, because you're investing in your business, so do your research.
I love all of these red flags. I've taken some notes because I want to go back to some of them. The first one would be the team that you mentioned. And this is something that I often see on social media as well, that bigger coaches, social media strategists that are not actively managing anymore, but that are just coaching other people. Usually they do that through coaching programs or online courses, stuff like that. They will always talk about the tips that they are using in their business, and small business owners often get frustrated because they can't really live up to the expectation of those tips because they don't have 5 other people in their team that film the videos for them, edit the videos for them. They don't have graphic designers in the team that come up with the carousel posts and the story content, all that. So I often feel like there is a big disconnect between these coaches and the actual average small business owner, I want to say, because they have grown their business in that way. They have that team and they often don't have the connection anymore to the small business owner and understand what it really means to have potentially a smaller budget, to not have a team, and the tips that they're providing are not really relevant anymore in that context.
Yeah, I think disconnect is definitely the right word. Like, these people have, they have so much knowledge, most of them as well, and they really know what they're talking about. But all they're doing now is, because they're not actually doing any of that stuff in their business anymore, they're actually just salesmen. Mm. You know, they're just trying to sell you and rope you into working with people that you're probably never going to actually see or meet. And if you want to ask these people that, you know, for their knowledge or their thoughts, you can't actually talk to them. So it's just something to be cautious of.
Yeah, and I've seen lots of online coaches as well that they promote their coaching program or their online course, and then to some extent you don't even get coached by the actual person, but by their coaches that they have on the team, like the junior coach or the sous chef in a way, but for coaches. So I feel like that is a little bit of false advertising as well, because if I look at your content and I feel like I have a connection with you, I have a relationship built with you, and I want to work with you, and then I come into a program and I'm actually not even in contact with you or not even taught by the person that I've seen on the social media pages, I feel like that is always a little bit of a problem as well. And I think what you said before as well with the automations thing, that lots of businesses that become these kind of salespeople rather than actually someone that still manages pages themselves, is that they have, again, such a disconnect with the average small business owner, and they're not even really that interested anymore in getting to know the person or the business, but they just want to make more sales. And I think while obviously it's important to make sales in your business, it's important to have a steady revenue flow and all that, I think it's still important to actually provide a great experience as well for your clients. And one of the things that I always value is getting to know the people, and that is one of the favorite parts of my job, to get to know all the different people and building relationships with them.
For sure. Like, when I work with a client, I get so involved in their business that I will learn so much about their industry, and it's like I just become one of their team and they're part of my team. You know, it's a collaborative effect. And when you're paying that, some of these courses are thousands and thousands of dollars worth. Like, they really are. They're really high ticket things. And you're actually paying, you know, you want to be paying for somebody's knowledge and experience, and then you're pawned off onto, like you said, one of the juniors. And it's like, well, how is that even fair? To me, that's not transparent at all. I'd rather work with somebody locally that I can actually get on the phone whenever I need to.
One of the other things you mentioned as well, and that we've talked about a little bit already, is the fact that some of these big coaches, they don't even manage pages themselves anymore. So I feel like what you said before with the outdated advice or the outdated knowledge is really relevant as well, because if you haven't managed a social media page in 3 years, the advice that you're giving to people is not really relevant anymore, because it's such a fast-moving space and the tips that worked 3 months ago probably don't even work now anymore. A bit of a red flag for me as well. Something else that you mentioned as well was the secrecy and the hiding prices on your website. I have to say I'm not a really big fan of that either, because I want, like you said before as well, I want to know if this is feasible for me as a business, if this is something that I can invest in and if I can afford it, or if I have to grow my business a little bit further before I can actually invest in something like a social media management package. But at the same time, I also think it's beneficial for the business owner if they put their prices on their website, because they don't get contacted by people who don't even have the budget, right? Because if I say my coaching pack or my social media management packages start at, I don't know, $2,000 a month, and a person, a business, they have a $600 budget and they contact me, we're both wasting our time a little bit, because we both know we won't be able to work together. So I think not only is it better for the prospect to be able to see their prices and evaluate if this is something that they can afford, but also for the business owner, because they are not wasting anyone's time and their own, most importantly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's two ways. Like, you can either have your pricing all on your social media pages, on your website, wherever. Some businesses still don't like to do that, and I understand that as well, and they might keep them to yourselves. But I think what I'm trying to get at with the transparency is, if somebody asks you what it's going to cost, you tell them, because you already know in your head what it's going to be for a full service. If they don't have the budget, you can then start a conversation with them around, well, why don't we do part of it for the budget you have? And you can kind of negotiate a little bit that way. So you don't want to necessarily turn people off by having all your pricing, but it might be you have your pricing and then have something around tailored packages, and negotiations and things like that as well. But it's just about trying to hide it. And, you know, like, I went through a conversation just out of interest with, and it's a very popular coach at the moment. She comes up absolutely everywhere. She's based overseas. And so I went through, she's advertising her new courses and whatnot at the moment. And so I went through and then, you know, DMs and sent the word, whatever it was, coach or through, and send coach, and then you get back your, oh, thank you so much for contacting me straight away, and, you know, and it took me so long to get to the bottom of actually getting a price for her. And then, like I said, she's overseas, she's in England. This was a £4,000 course. You know, that's $8,000. And she's talking about having hundreds of people on this course. And it's just like, are you even going to be there? You know, like, are you going to be accessible afterwards? What am I going to get from you? And it's all about, we've got these templates. Well, I don't need to spend $8,000 on templates. I'd rather spend $8,000, like, improving my business practices and my software and my branding and, you know, just getting it right. It's just, I think you can get really swept up in the mode of it as well.
Yeah, and I think for an 8,000 New Zealand dollar investment, you could probably get a graphic designer to make some personalized templates just for your business that not 100 other people are using as well. Because that's a bit the thing with these courses. And I have to say, I often notice when the same group of people participate in a course or in a coaching program, because they suddenly start using the same strategies on all the people. So one of the typical things that I often come across is these cold DM outreach messages, where people would write something like, oh, hey, how is it going? How is your business doing right now? And I feel like there's always a wave of those coming when certain coaching programs open for enrollment again. So it's a little bit that, yes, it's important to upskill and to learn new things, but at the same time, I think the better approach is to work one-on-one with someone if you can afford it. And hearing those prices for you, I would say for an $8,000 investment, you could get a really, really good one-on-one experience with someone, maybe even here in New Zealand, who coaches you one-on-one and gives you strategies that work for your business. Because that's a little bit the thing as well. With these coaching programs, they often say, well, this is for any type of business. I'm sure there are certain strategies that work for all kinds of businesses, but you cannot tell me that a brick and mortar store can use the exact same strategies as an online business. So that's always a bit the thing as well with these coaching programs. They will never be 100% personalized, and it can often waste a lot of your time because you're pursuing strategies that won't even work for your own business.
Yeah, and it just makes me feel that they're not actually in it to help you. Yes, they've got some great skills and some great knowledge, and they should be able to make money off that. Go for it. Absolutely, 100% agree. But when you're charging that sort of money, like, who are you actually helping? You know, for 8,000 New Zealand dollars, we could have a social media manager, you could have a graphic designer, and you could probably have a whole new website built, you know? So it's like, it's just finding those right things and not getting swept up in the sales pitch, looking behind it, the depth behind it as to what are you actually going to get out of it? How is it going to help your business grow?
And I think we're back at the six-figure, seven-figure claim here, because like you say, who is actually profiting from these coaching programs? I'm sure there's lots of value in them, but in the end, it's mostly the person who offers these programs that massively benefit from people investing in the program like that. And indeed, it's more about making them money, which then they always put into their marketing and be like, hey, look at me, I make 6-7 figure business revenue each year, so come and buy my course and I can teach you how to do the same. But it rarely happens that businesses actually then go about and also manage to get a 6-figure business revenue. Okay, I think we've talked quite a while already about the red flags. Let's talk about green flags. What would be something that a business should look for when they're hiring a social media manager? What would be a green flag for them to know that this is the right person for them?
Awesome. I think the very first green flag for me is to find someone that you gel with. So you want to be able to communicate well with your customers or your social media manager. You don't need to be best friends, but you do need to be able to get along. I think you're on the journey together. It's a collaborative effort. If you can't connect with each other, it's just not going to work, in my opinion. So naturally, I am a big personality person. I'm cheeky. I use sarcasm a lot. I don't have the best language all of the time. So I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I get that, and I'm okay with that. But if that's not something that's going to work well for you, we're probably not going to get along very well. And if we can't get along very well, we're going to already run into issues. So I think you need to find someone, first of all, that you gel with and you get along with. Another green flag for me is someone that is knowledgeable and experienced, but willing to keep learning and upskilling. So having qualifications are great to back up what you're saying, but to me, the right attitude and the willingness to keep improving is more important. You also want to find someone who can meet deadlines consistently. That is a huge green flag for me. You don't need somebody unorganized who keeps forgetting to post your content or doesn't get your monthly report to you until, you know, 3/4 of the way through the month for the previous month. So someone who is consistent and organized. And finally, I think someone who is results orientated. They track and measure what's working and what isn't, but more importantly, they can relay that information to you monthly, and depending on the depth at how far they dive into those insights or that information probably depends on the package you have with them, but I think it's very important that you find someone who can give you some feedback on how things are going.
I like what you said about that they need to know how to analyze and to report, but most importantly also how to relay that to you as someone who might not be proficient in marketing, because that's one of the reasons why you're outsourcing it, right? You want the expert to have a look at it, but at the same time, as a business owner, you also always want to know what's going on in your business. And if you get a report and you don't really understand anything that's going on in the report, then yeah, it's a little bit of a waste of time as well, and it doesn't really help you move forward with your marketing either. So that resonated with me. Are there any things that a business should consider before they think of hiring a social media manager? Are there any, I want to say, requirements that they in their business should have before they can think of hiring a social media manager?
I think the biggest requirement that you would need to have is to know what you want to achieve, what your social media goals are, because that is going to be the basis for writing your social media strategy. I think you need to be very clear on who your customer is so that you can articulate that information to your social media manager. They need to know who your target customer is so they can create content that resonates with that person. You need to know which platforms the social media manager is proficient with. Like if you get most of your leads from your YouTube channel or Pinterest and that's not a service they offer, well, there's probably, you might want to reconsider working with that person if they're only going to be marketing you on Facebook or TikTok. You know, that might not be where your audience sits. You definitely need to consider your budget and the resources available to set aside for social media marketing, and ensuring that their fees align with your budget and what, if any, they have available for paid targeted advertising as well. Be very clear on what money is available, what things are going to cost, so that there's no hidden expenses that come out of there. You need to consider how the social media manager is going to receive content from you if it's needed, how often, when, and how much content comes through. You don't want to leave them hanging out if they plan 3 weeks in advance. If they've got no content to come through, they can't do anything. That's just going to start to cause a bit of friction, I think, between people. And the most important one for me, and one that's actually something I'm working with a client at the moment, is setting expectations. So right at the beginning, setting expectations of what you both expect from each other and what the boundaries are. So just some clarity and communication, I think, will ensure a successful relationship between the two of you.
I think the expectations one is a really, really big one, because often I see, especially also when we think of budget, because often I feel like, and this is usually what I see in Facebook groups, people will put a post up and be like, I have $300 budget per month, like, what can I do with it? Like, you need to set the right expectations that you're not going to go very far with that kind of budget. So I think that is a very, very important point that every social media manager needs to really work on with their clients when they get started. And I think then we're coming back to having your pricing on your website, or at least be upfront about the pricing that you expect the client to, or the investment that you expect the client to make. Because if you say, well, we're not quite sure how much we're going to charge for this, or we'll see, or, you know, you need to be very clear on what you can provide, what kind of service, and what the deliverables are for a certain budget. So expectations are definitely a really big one.
If you're working with someone outside of like your full package, so if you're giving somebody just a part service, I think you both need to be very, very clear then on what they get for that money, opposed to, oh, I want you to do this, oh, I want you to do that, oh, I'm on the phone to you 3 times a day, oh, you've got 12 emails from me. You know, it's like, you're not paying for that stuff, you're paying for the bare minimum. You know, it always seems to me that the people who try and haggle or try and, you know, wear you down on your pricing, those are the ones that want the most from you as well. So it's like, just know that you've chosen to work with me because I'm getting you results. I'm, you know, we're achieving your goals, you know, so there's a reason that you're paying for my knowledge and my time upskilling and all those things. So.
I think from my experience as well, the clients with the smallest budget are usually the ones that create the biggest problems or that are the biggest pain, because they have a small budget and they have such big expectations of where they're going to go with that budget that they're really trying to make the most of it. And from my experience, the clients that have a healthy budget and that are willing to invest a healthy amount into their marketing, they're usually the least problematic. So for you as a social media manager, that works out quite well as well then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And those, I find as well, those people that haven't got the bigger budgets, they also seem to want more control. They seem to struggle with letting go and letting somebody else take on the process. So that's actually probably another thing that you need to consider when working with an agency or a social media manager is, can you let go and trust somebody else knows what they're doing and talking about? You know, if they're showing you that they're getting the results, you might need to leave them alone and give them a bit more flexibility.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to vibing with someone or having a relationship with someone, and that being one of the main requirements, that you just feel like you have a good relationship with someone when you start working with them. If you personality-wise don't really click, then that is going to be a problem on the way as well. I do have one last question that just came to my mind now. Do you think that there is a type of business that would be better off managing their socials themselves, or can any business benefit from social media management?
I think there's definitely, if we cover all those things off about like the communication and what you want to achieve and you go through the strategy, I think there is a place that a social media manager and their expertise can help any business. But I think if you're perhaps a one-man band retail store, you know, that doesn't have huge turnover, you're not going to be able to create a lot of different content. You probably have the time to do it yourself. If you're going to be trying to outsource that to someone, you're already sending them the pictures. What is it that they're actually going to be able to get for you? They might be able to get more people in the door using community groups, but you could probably do that yourself. So I think those people would probably benefit from more coaching. I know a lot of coaches also have guides that you can purchase, you know, step by step, do this all the different programs. So it might be better that they invest in something like that in opposed to a full-time social media manager who is just going to be posting pictures of stock that you already have, potentially just pop off your website.
Yeah, and I think at the same time, also businesses that are really highly specialized. I'm thinking of businesses in certain medical fields where it's really going to be difficult for someone who is not an expert in that niche to come up with content, where you will have to provide them with the whole content yourself. And the work that the social media manager can do is very minimal. Like, they will put together a post and schedule it for you maybe, but it's still going to be a lot of effort from your side. So in that case, I would always argue, have a look if it really makes sense for you to have that investment, or if it's not just better to, I don't know, get yourself a VA who can just schedule the post for you that you make up.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I mean, my clients, I think, that do best with me are service-based businesses. We can see in their calendar if they don't have an awful lot of bookings coming up, we can really push and do some extra work around there and those sorts of things, offering their services and getting out to people in the community what services are around. So I think service-based businesses, they're actually usually the ones that don't have a social media presence as well, I find. Particularly, they may be on Facebook, but they're certainly not anywhere else. And it's like, okay, you're a, I don't know, for example, you're a mechanic, and it's like, you're not on Instagram. And it's like, well, your target audience is sitting out there, you know, like the people that are buying cars that are probably going to need a mechanic regularly are younger people who they're not necessarily going to be sitting on Facebook. And it's, you know, changing changing those perceptions about what things are about as well, and getting people on the right platforms.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. That was a really lovely conversation, and I'm sure that the listeners will get a lot of, out of it as well. Thanks so much for coming, and maybe in the future we'll have a second episode. Who knows?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's actually been really fun. This was actually my first podcast that I've ever done with anyone.
You were a natural.